Two things on my mind today.
Yep.
One is to get your input on how to maybe change the way that I'm prospecting some of these identified candidates or social relationships and how to fine tune that. We'll come back to that. And then two, I was reviewing since our last call, our finalized, some adjustments to year end, revenues and earnings and stuff for last year. And I just thought I'd share some of these with you. So I fell way short of my goal last year of a million. But I still ended up with all things considered, pretty good increase. So I finished up at 737 for 2022. That's an 18.9% increase from 2021. In 2021, I did 620, and that was up 24% from 2020, which I ended the year at 499. And then we started our relationship in December of 2020. Don't take this the wrong way, but actually from 2019 to 2020, I had a 29.7% increase, but, granted, I don't know if I would have continued at increasing. So you certainly added a lot of value and I certainly appreciate our relationship, but I just thought I'd share those numbers with you that really, all things considered, even it was kind of good for my wife to see the adjusted numbers for last year,
Sure.
Considering what a challenging year it was and considering that I lost, I don't know if lost is the right word, that I, it's a better word. Either I terminated or they terminated, more relationships, client relationships last year than since probably 2010 or so. 10, that is 2010. So it's a long time for me. So considering all and considering everything that's going on in the marketplace environment, I'm pretty pleased with that.
No, you should be. And remember, percentages are also part interesting because as your base grows, the percentages get tougher.
That's right. It's like a small company, right? That's a growth company. They're growing 20, 30, 60, 80%. But then, Walmart to grow double digits, they would have to come up with a new iPhone or something,
It'd have to be something really special. Right.
Yeah. And if it didn't work out, it'd bankrupt the company.
Right. And that's why companies like Apple Computer that have been able to compound, double digit earnings for so long and still come up with innovative products and fully integrating. And what they're doing is extraordinary and they're gaining market share even now worldwide. When you think about it, what they did in the chip business, just people said it just couldn't be done.
Yes.
You can't have a fully integrated company because you're not in the chip business.
Right.
You can't create chips. That's for NVIDIA and other companies to do, but you decided that you wanted not depend on those guys anymore. So you built your own chips. And they work better and they're customized for you. Now you're going to build more of them. So
thanks for that. That helped me in my last meeting with my Apple executive. And it also helped. She was like, oh yeah. And then it also helped me I had a really good meeting this week. I guess it was last week. Last week with the introduction to her boss. That's a corporate executive there at Apple, who lives in Atlanta, by the way. And that went really, really well. So we've scheduled the financial roadmap meeting, the second meeting, and went really good. So yeah, thanks.
There was an article in Barron's or somewhere this weekend talking about them increasing their share. Maybe it was Wall Street Journal, but look for it. I didn't, I looked for it again this morning to call it up and I couldn't find it. I don't know why. So it's either Barron's. I look at Barron's. I look in Wall Street Journal and I look at Bloomberg every day. And then read over the weekend with them. And so it's in one of those and it's talking about increasing market share internationally. Okay. Mm-hmm. The same way they've increased market share in the U.S. So it's something that is impossible to do because of price. Normally, price is a big issue when it comes to China and India and all these developing countries. Japan, there's huge competition, but it doesn't seem to affect them. People want the phone because it's that much better.
Yeah.
Which is extraordinary when you think about it.
Well, actually what it brought up was I had actually got my newest Apple phone, whatever the newest one, 14 or plus, you know, and I was saying, hey, you know, da, da, da. And her husband was with in that meeting and he said, I was talking about, oh, really good. You know, I said, you know, the new one doesn't even have a SIM card. It's not even a SIM card in. And the husband said, who doesn't even work for him, he said, oh yeah, I love that because I can have two different phone numbers with two different carriers on the same phone.
Oh, wow.
And he said, you know, you see a lot of people, two cell phones, you have one work phone and one personal. With the new iPhone, you can have one phone, two different phone numbers, two different total separate carriers. Like, wow, that's pretty sweet. Didn't even know that.
Wow. So anyway, interesting.
Yeah.
Continue okay. to own it. The point is keep owning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing about my revenue that I share with you is the good news is thanks for your help and guidance and advice, we're getting closer and closer to achieving the outcome we want, which is to be able to sow more and more money into the kingdom of God. So thank you. I appreciate that. And that we're growing, right? In spite of, you know, some economic challenges and down markets. I mean, I think in reality, you and I know this, that really bear markets are your best friend in terms of growing and attracting new clients. The challenge is always that your current clients are taking up so much time and energy and resources, it's hard to do it. But that's also more the advantage of a supernova practice because other advisors that have 300 or 500 or 600 or 1,000 households, they can't even interview a new person because they're so swamped with, you know, incoming phone calls and liquidations and ACATs and everything else. So good time to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you can use that if you want to.
No, it's a great, I've become, you know, so enamored with the process because of the people I'm coaching and their success they're having. It's just extraordinary. And that is just makes me excited. You know, I just get very excited about what I'm doing because I feel like I've got the cure for cancer and there's a whole world out there that still has cancer, you know, and I just don't have enough time to get to them all.
That's true. But it's like the story about the, you know, little boy picking up the starfish, throwing them back. You know, you've heard that story.
Right. Yeah.
Dad says, no, there's thousands of starfish. It won't make any difference. The little boy says, but to the one I pick up and throw back, Dad, it makes all the difference in the world. Right. All right. So your input. So we have, I've done this in years past. I've done this. Cynthia's helped me do a better job of having a folder for potential clients. So they're not even, we haven't supernovaed yet. We haven't done anything. So we've just had some kind of interaction. And in years past, what I used to do is I used to kind of come up with a 12-month schedule where, as you know, if somehow I got an introduction to someone or I met someone at a party or an event or something, you know, I thought might be a good potential client, I would sort of prospect them over a 12-month period where I would give them a phone call 1 month to say, hey, I'm just thinking about you, da 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 da. And then the next month, I might send them an interesting article like, hey, I thought you'd find this of interest. And then the next month, I might invite them to lunch or I might invite them the next month to a seminar or the following month, I might send them an email. Hey, I'm just thinking about you. How are things going in your world? I might invite them to a webinar or, you know, I might invite them to a dinner and kind of just lightly prospecting them over a 12-month period, hoping to sort of get their ear, right? And at some point, they're liable to say, you know, thanks for calling me. I've got an advisor. Or they might have told me that already, you know, at the get-go. Hey, I have an advisor I'm working with. Really happy with them. Like, yep. Hey, great. Glad to hear it. But as you know, we're always making, bless you, we're always making deposits or withdrawals, right? Yep. Kind of like in a marriage, same thing in the business relationship. And so, as you know, inevitably, in a 12-month period, there's going to be some mistakes the other advisor's office is going to make. You know, they're not going to send a deposit on time or not return a phone call on time or whatever it is. And you're just hoping that in that 12 month period that you're providing more communication and better service, right? Even at a very light level, right? So that's what I've done in the past. And then sometimes at the end of that 12 month period, then I've decided whether they might come in for a meeting or whether I think that there's a high potential that they could become a client. And if I do, then I may do that again over the next 12 months. And then if they don't become a client, then I may just put them on the kind of the drip campaign where they get automated emails and invites, things like that. So, but I'm trying to see how I might tweak that a little bit. Cynthia's doing me is doing a better job helping keep me on task so that I actually do the work for these. And I have about, let's say 30, I've got 50 altogether, but I've got my top 20 and then I've got the next 30.
Right.
So for the people, so like this would be a good example. Jeff and Sandy Smith. So I know them through church. We've also been to a couple of social events. I know they have money. They moved here from, he retired from ExxonMobil. He also, is still a successful builder. He won't build a house for less than $1 million. And he's making plenty of money building houses, so he's continuing to do it. They kind of moved up here to retire, but some friends said, hey, would you build my house? He's like, all right, sure. And some other people said, will you build my house? He's like, all right, sure. And next thing you know, he's building a couple $1 million houses a month, so he's probably building 10 or 12 houses a year. You know, so even at 10% profit, that's, you know, $1 million a year he's making. And also, one time, right before right, of course, I was still would have steered him away from Bitcoin, but right before Bitcoin, you know, peaks, he had told me at church one Sunday, which I always find interesting. He said, you know, I found this old 66 Chevelle or something I was going to buy. And I told my advisor down in Houston to send me a check for 70, 80,000, whatever it was, you know. And, as it turns out, I didn't buy the car, but I didn't put the money back in the account. And I thought I might come talk to you about it. Of course, he didn't know what our minimums were, but I said, yeah, it'd be great. But we've never gotten together to talk about it. And I've invited them to dinner a time or two, like a small dinner party. One, they said, well, like the wife said, oh, we're busy. We have plans or something, but thanks for inviting us. The next time she said, well, I know we're fixing to go out on a cruise and sort of, I'll let you know when we get back. Da, da, da. And then they didn't come, but some friends of theirs who we also are also clients of mine came to the party and then she had lunch with the lady next day and was telling her what a fun time they had and how you really missed out not coming to that. Actually, she didn't say you missed out. She didn't know she was invited. She's like, oh, we just went to the funnest dinner party at Preston's house. And she's like, oh, gosh, we got an invitation to that. And I never RSVP'd yes or no. It sounds like I should have RSVP'd. So that's kind of where the relationship is. I see them every Sunday at church. They're super nice people. You know, it's the first, hopefully first and last marriage. They've been married for, you know, 40 years. They've got two grown kids and grandkids. They're super nice. But, and he's super busy in his business too. I mean, he's playing golf, but he's not busy. So if you were me, how would you sort of keep moving that relationship forward and get to a point where I might say, hey, I'd like to share with you a little bit what we do or how we do it or that kind of stuff.
I'm much more impatient than you are. I think I probably have, you know, a three thing, you know, rather than 12.
Yeah, but see, time is the ultimate equalizer because, like I said, most people do give up after two or three tries, you know, or one, and most advisors have a one call close, you know, here's my deal. Are you going to do business or not? And be like, well, I don't know. And then they're on the next one. And if they would just be a little more, that's what people love about our pre-meeting process. In fact, my most recent video testimonial, that's what the client says. Oh, we look, you know, it says, have you ever introduced someone to Preston or Reckman? Oh yes. We talk about his pre-meeting process all the time. We love his process for new client meetings. And then he calls us every single month. And so there's stuff he's doing behind the scenes. And then you're going to hear from him every month, you know, and it's going to be about those topics. And I do get a lot of introductions because of the three-meeting process that we're going to add value, whether they work with us or not. We're going to do these things for them. We're going to help them and they're going to be happy with you, whether we work together or not.
I would want to know what he does for fun.
Yeah, I do know. He plays golf every Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, they moved up here. They live on the golf course. And also, like, we went to a fund, it was for our church, but we went to sort of a private fundraiser for the new building we're building for the youth. and they hosted, you know, so everybody there would potentially be my clients. So it would be ideal if we had all, you know, that would be perfect. But so I've got a number of clients. He also likes to hunt some with his son-in-law. But so I have a number of clients kind of like this, or not clients. I have a number of potential people that are in my sphere of influence. I guess what I'm saying. There are some people like this that I have, like there's another guy that's in my supper club. He's very wealthy. And not only that, he knows very wealthy. I mean, he has money, but he knows people that are wealthy. Like he just went on a trip with a friend that happens to be a neighbor down the street or down the acreage, a neighbor down a couple ranches down that has his own Gulf Stream. And they just went and spent a week on this guy's yacht in the Caribbean, you know. I mean, so he, all right, so he's not the yacht guy, but the other friend. But this friend of mine, he owned a fencing company. We go to church together. We're in the supper club. You know, we've been to their house, been to our house. But he sold his fencing company for a bunch of money. He has a gun shop here, and it's just gone. He started out as a retired hobby, and it just went gangbusters. You know, he's making money hand over fist. So, like, I know them. I know I have a relationship with them. But I know they already had money. I know they're an advisor. Like, just kind of how to ease into it. You know, they know what I do, right? So they haven't said, like, oh, tell us more. So I've got some relationships like that where I'm in their lives. I see them. I know they're fluent. I know they have money. They've got to have an advisor. But I, you know what I'm saying? Like, how to better woo those people, I guess is what I'm saying. Or maybe adjust what I'm doing. Like, not just calling them in like, hey, why don't you come see me? Let's have an appointment.
It's like, how do you, what you're doing is you're building a friendship. I think you can speed up the friendship.
Okay.
I just would, if you really genuinely like somebody, do it as if you're just trying to become friends.
Okay.
So what would you do? You know, if you played golf, you'd play golf. If you were hunting, if you're a hunter, you'd hunt. If you'd, you know, at least you'd have lunch together and get to know each other.
Yes.
Okay, so I think you can get more intimate quicker.
And by doing activities they like.
Yeah, and do it right away. You meet somebody at church you like, I'll give you an example, okay? I met a guy. This is how fast I can be, right? Now, this doesn't get me business, but it tells you how quickly you can build a relationship. I met a guy walking our dog, which is a brilliant thing to do, by the way, in our neighborhood anyway.
Yeah.
And he, you know, when you meet somebody, he was just Mr. Energy. 71, but he's got energy of a kid.
Right.
And he was telling, you know, we're just sitting there in the street and they tell us their story. We're telling them our story. We're finding out what we have in common. And he loves golf, but he's only here for 10 days. They're Canadian. And I said, why don't we play golf? And one thing led to another and we didn't do anything, but Marsha ran into them again. And you know, she said, Robert really was serious about wanting to play golf with you if you want to play. He said, well, okay, I would. And so I invited him to play golf and we had the best time. It was one of those, it was like early morning, beautiful day, special day. Well, it turns out he's the largest manufacturer of slides in the world. Does it for Disney and Universal and everybody all over the world. He's out of Ottawa, Canada, and is just the nicest guy in the world. And he and I are going to be good friends. Because he's 71, but he acts like a 60-year-old, same as me. And, you know, we're a bunch of kids and we want to play. What I would be doing is looking for friends. And you don't have to have all your clients be friends, but it really helps.
Sure.
Okay. Then you enjoy the time with them and it's not painful. It's, So that's all I would do. Just accelerate everything to see if you really can be truly friends. And then ask them about their work. And of course, they're going to ask you about your work. And so I told them all about my practice and my charity and everything about me. And I mean, we had in 18 holes, we covered the waterfront.
Yes. You get one like that with not having a foursome, that works really well.
And then then we had lunch afterwards. And you know, if I was a financial advisor and he wasn't Canadian, yeah. I would have gone for the close, right?
So I have a question for you. So, so that's a good question. So if you were me, how would you, so two challenges, the 1242's got me super busy. So how would you block time on my calendar to do things like that? And then also, you know, I'm married and have a son that's still at home. And so it's not like we're empty nesters. And, you know, that certainly that's a benefit being at, you know, in this business when you don't have kids at home. Because then you have a lot more time. But then also, you know, I value my family and my wife. And right. So I'm not going to be like, you know, on Saturday, I'll be like, see you guys later and go, because that time with my wife and son is more about me than any amount of zeros. Right. And as you know, it's a very limited window, you know, at least the son at home. So how would you block off my calendar? How would you incorporate in order to be able to, I mean, the closest thing that we're doing now is, we do have a supper club that we meet quarterly. We're doing that with three other couples. And one of those couples is, they were already clients of mine, before you started. The other couple are kind of clients of mine through some, their sister. So they're her brother and sister-in-law who are clients of mine. And then there's a little partnership they have that they put some of those assets and they know what and this other people, you know, they could do business with me anytime, but I also understand where they are and some other things too, like the relationships they have in our community and stuff like that. So, and then, the other couple's one owns the gun shop. So we're doing that. And then also we're doing the dinners at our house. I think we've got like, I'm just updating some. I think we've got like 8 scheduled for 2023. So, and we're mixing that with like clients, potential clients. And so, but other than that, you know, and I used to play golf. I haven't played since I played 3 times, I think, since Price was born. Actually, I did hit some last summer. We went to a driving range when we were in Colorado and took him to see if he might show some interest, but he thought it was boring, but it did feel pretty good. So, yeah. So, you know, and golf takes a lot of time, right? That's why you don't see a lot of working people that don't own businesses that run themselves on the golf course or, I mean, you do see
71, right? So I didn't play. I probably played 10 times a year when I was working.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's nothing that you can do about time except have less activities.
Right.
Okay. You either have fewer clients, which gives you more time.
Right.
Or you have less activities, which gives you more time. So you got to examine everything we're doing now to be sure that it's moving you in the direction you want to go. So one thing to do is to do things that are, like being in a dad's club is easier than being in, being president of the dad's club is easier than being president of, the hunting club, right?
Right.
So combining family and charity work is great. And being coach for your son is great. And teaching your son golf is great. So, you know, I would try and, you know, combine not just drop him off with some pro to teach him, but, you know, the two of you take a lesson together with the pro and have him make it fun. And you don't have to teach him how to make golf fun. The pro's job is to make it fun.
You know, that's something else interesting. I've been a member of several country clubs, played golf over the years. I've never been able to monetize that.
That's because you didn't get involved.
with a country club? What do you mean? I mean, like a lot of times I've found, even when I've had clients that would go play with me and invited a friend or something, they don't want to talk about business. They don't want, you know, they didn't.
I've got a guy here. He's a wholesaler, and he goes to the club at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. He works out and then he works from there.
Right.
He literally works from there.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be real. In fact, there's a country club here that they actually have some executive suites. There's one in Lakeway. They actually have some executive suites. It's not in the thing that you could, and I've known guys that do that.
Yeah. So does he get business from that? Absolutely. So it's commitment of time and energy, and knowing all the players and being very involved. Like I said, if you don't plan on being president of the organization, don't expect to get any business from it. It's a different.
I mean, I don't know that really answered my question about how, you know, or my statement about never being able to monetize. No, I mean, most people that join a country club, they're there to relax and not talk about business or think about business.
Oh, no.
Business gets tough.
Country club is a perfect place to develop business, and it works, but it's not for everybody. Okay. It's hard to be a true family man and be a really good golfer and a big guy involved in the golf course.
Right.
You're making a different choice.
Yes.
You can't tell me that golf clubs aren't great places to do business.
No, I'm not saying that. Obviously a lot of business gets done on the golf course.
Right. And it would work for you, but
I was just saying I was never able to monetize that.
And I'm telling you it's because it didn't fit with what you were trying to do at the time.
I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying? I'm saying that your priority is your family, your son, right, and your spiritual side of things. And that's right. What you focus on.
Right.
Don't try and be somebody else.
Right.
And so you meet up with people and you get engaged with people of like mind. Okay.
Right.
So it's not painful for you to do it. So a Bible study class that you ran would be perfect.
Yeah. Like we're in a life group of other, of course, their life group is reflective of people about our genre. Some have kids, some don't. Some are successful, some don't, some aren't.
I mean, if you started a Bible study class of men that you thought were all good prospects.
Now I am in a Bible study of men who are, and we meet every week, and I've been in that for 5 or maybe it's been 10 years now. It's been a while. It's been at least 5 years, and a bunch of them have become clients.
Right. See,
that wasn't why I joined. It just happened that they said, hey, you know, right.
What would exactly see? And what you're asking is how do you accelerate that process? By continuing to do things you're passionate about. Don't do things that you're not passionate about, because it shows through and then it won't work. So do more of what you love and you'll get the same results. You'll get good results. You'll just do more instead of one Bible study, you have two Bible studies.
Yeah. I really enjoyed, sitting on the deck of the beach house that we rented for our anniversary in California last week and that time with my wife. But that does reap great rewards, and it is profitable, but it doesn't generate any revenue.
Right, but that's okay. But if you traveled with a group, and you all, I mean, I just, you know, one of the things that I found was that travel groups are really great ways of getting to know people when you all have plenty of time together.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we went to Africa. Every time I went on one of those trips, I came back with a client for somebody.
So tell me more about that. So like the travel group, is that, how'd you get involved in that?
All right. So one thing you want is a concierge travel agent.
Yeah. They're kind of like dinosaurs.
No, they're good. They're there and they're making money, and they're not as many of them, but they're really good.
There is a travel agency here in town, and I know the lady, her and her help, husband are affluent, and they have helped a lot of retired wealthy people go on big trips. And always asking what's your budget first, but then I've referred them some business. It's just, it's not what it used to be. I think, you know, this device has become the ultimate equalizer, you know, VRBO, Airbnb, reservation, but, all that stuff.
But not our generation and not your generation. I mean, yes and no. For people that are still worried about a budget, they want that. And if you're going for 2 weeks to Lake Toxaway, great. You get an Airbnb. But if you're going to have an experience of going to Asia or going to Africa or going someplace and you're going, you know, you're going to make it a memorable trip, Concierge Travel Agent will make all the difference. Okay. It, also ships are wonderful ways of doing it. Going with a group. So the travel agent will often put together a cruise, that is, even if it's a week, it's still a special thing, but most of them are 2 weeks, and which, you know, most people can't take 2 weeks until they're retired.
Right.
But the idea is that you know, it was all people from our Indianapolis, and we did a cruise to the Black Sea. You know, we did a cruise to the, anyway, all over the world, right? India, Africa, Asia, you know, Copenhagen, all that. So every one of those was an opportunity for me to get to know wealthy, wealthy people in my community because they were expensive trips. And they worked. And so one of the things I recommend is an enthusiastically endorsed list of not just CPAs and attorneys, but a concierge CPA, concierge attorney, concierge travel agent, concierge this and that, meaning people that are very high end and do things in an extraordinary way for a limited number of people, just like you are. Okay. So.
Right.
Any chance you get to have people like on that deck with you sharing a house, is a wonderful experience, right? You both are sharing the experience together. You got a week together and you really enjoy each other and you get to know each other and have long talks. So whether that's on a cruise or on a deck of a house, it's a wonderful thing. Everybody gets a chance to let their hair down. If you have some.
If you what?
If you have hair.
If you have hair, that's right.
So, yeah, there's...
Elena cut my hair on Saturday. She said, she's in her late 50s. She said, I don't have any gray hair. I said, that's because you don't have kids. She laughed. She said, that's probably why.
That's right. Right. Yeah, so, you know, it's,
I'm taking all that in and ingesting it. I think I'm doing a lot of those things I'm passionate about. Like you said, just trying to do, accelerate it. Yeah, and then even thinking about how we like to travel or what we like to do when we travel.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Well, here's a challenge. I mean, it's just it's a challenge. You know, I used to play these little games with my wife and, I also, like, we used to go to a lot of fundraisers and charity things, but it never turned out, it never monetized because she always, like, wanted to spend time with me and it was like a date. And I was looking at, like, well, we can have a date, but also we're here to, like, meet people and find out what to do. So I would say, like, hey, have this little game. Ask, you know, introduce yourself to someone and, you know, say, like, well, tell me about you. And then keep asking follow-up questions. And, you know, don't go on her, but see if they ever even ask a question about you. And 9 times out of 10, they'll never ask you a single question. But when you exit the conversation, they'll say, oh, I met the nicest lady. Oh, she's so nice. You know, da, 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 da. They might remember your face and they just remember you listening because no one ever, there's most people just want to talk all about them. Right. So like we'll leave these parties and I'm like, oh, I met this person and I know their story. She's like, how do you find out this information? Just ask. People love talking about themselves. But the thing about it was it was not good for me. All right. Personally, it's not good for my marriage. So like I had to quit going to those things because, you know, she wasn't interested.
She didn't have fun.
No, she's not an extrovert. She's an introvert. And so to her, it was a lot of work and wasn't fun. And so, and then a lot of times I just ended up like, I'd have been better off just take my wife to dinner. And you can't really, I guess you could go to those things by yourself, but it looks kind of awkward sometimes, especially if you're married.
All right. So I'll challenge you then. How do you have these dinners?
That's a great question. It's in, so she can be, I'm not saying it's not work. So one, it's a smaller group, not a big, you know, there's not 100 people. It's not whatever. The people that we're inviting are a little more genuine and sincere, I would say. And we're able to have more. Also, she's doing something. So like, you know, she has to get the house ready. You know, she sets the table, right? And then we host the dinners that we host, and I'm the one that's leading the conversations. So even, so
do
like.
Do you do them catered? Are they catered? Are they catered?
Oh, yeah. No, they're catered. And we actually do, people arrive and I say, you didn't know, there's a little surprise we had for you didn't know about. And I give them an apron that says, what's cooking with Preston at the Roseland Finance Group? So you didn't know that you were going to be cooking your own dinner. Now, I do have a professional chef here that's going to guide you through. So we partner people up. The only rule is you can't cook with your spouse, but then they get to help. And, you know, I make the chef make it easy for them where they do some preparation and things like maybe as involved as they want to. But basically, it's very interactive, right? So you can just have conversations with this one person, right? And plus there's wine flowing, you know, stuff. And so, you know, so it's very, but then we're at the dinner table. I'm generally, and you know, sometimes she'll set the women on that end, the men on this end, but I'm generally the one when there's a little lull, they'll say, so Joe, tell us how you and Sally met, right? And then, right. And then, okay, you know, Jim, it's your turn or you know, Rosie, it's your turn. How did y'all meet? You know, and then we kind of, and by the time we do that and we have dinner and coffee, then dinner's over. You know? Yep. And so, it's different kind of work for her. It kind of complements her personality. She's, you know, she, and then we have someone do all the dishes, which helps too. So there's still work for me and for her, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? She's more involved. There's a process. So,
okay. So here's what I want you to stop doing. Stop thinking about things that don't work.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just bouncing some ideas.
No, I know. But don't kick yourself because that didn't work. Okay. The country club didn't work. The social thing didn't work. What worked was this. Okay.
Yeah. The dinners worked great.
What worked was church.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean? What would I tell you to do? Do more of that. Not to the point where you wear yourself out and you don't have fun, but do more of the things that are working. Don't worry about the things that aren't working.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because don't think that they don't work for other people, because they do, but they don't work in your situation as it is today.
Yeah, and I said that. I said I haven't ever been. I didn't say right. No one.
No. But you're at, you know, you'd ask me, well, I wonder why. Why didn't it work for me? Well, I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Right.
The other thing is, it helps if you're a really good golfer. That does help too.
Yeah, but it's, yeah.
It people helps. Like to play with great golfers. People like to play, you know, people are average or no good golfer. I mean, I right. wasn't 105 kind of golfer, but I wouldn't, you know. 5 handicap or anything like yeah. that. Or even a 10 consistently. It used to be a long time ago. To get to a 10 handicap, you gotta spend a lot of time on the golf course. Or you just have to just have a natural bent. And some people do, but even those people spend a lot of time on the golf course to have a single digit or, and there's just other things in my life that are more important to me.
Right. But you know, when you're older, it will, right. it will be there. Still be okay. there.
All right. So, my sort of mastermind group thing has gotten delayed. So I'm still pursuing that, but the guy that I'm working with, some life circumstances happened. And he said, I got to take care of this first and then we'll get back. So that's kind of where I'm at. All right. Other than that, I mean, I've got a lot of people in the pipeline, which is good news. I've probably got, maybe six potential clients in our 3-meeting process going through the process right now. So that's good. And I feel really good about the ones that are in the process.
Well, I would just remember when you hit a vein of gold, you want to hump, you want to get going on it. Okay.
Right.
So you hit a vein of gold with Apple.
Right.
And so you don't want to wait around on that.
Okay.
Okay. You got a gold mine. You want to mine it.
Okay.
Without, you know, being pushy, you want to go after it and put the time into it.
Okay.
So looking, if you were asking me, where should I put my time? I would tell you put your time there because you've already got at least one good relationship. Sounds like two and potentially, you know, obviously anybody you get introduced there that's of any management position is going to meet your minimums.
Right.
Right. And so they sound like great people and they've got great attitudes. And so they sound like a good fit to me. And so. Yeah.
The other good thing too is most of them, you know, are in the stock option, stock employee purchase plan, and most of them have 401k. So a lot of them don't have an advisor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even if they do, that advisor doesn't have the assets because the bulk of their net worth is in the Apple stock and the 401k, which we can manage both.
Right. So that's unique to that situation and you can be of real value to them, keeping them out of trouble and keeping them, you know, continuing to mine their own gold mine, right?
Yes.
Stay with it because you got a winner there.
Okay. Thanks.
So that, you know, what you're looking for is constantly looking for that vein of gold. So there's nothing wrong with continuing to look for another one, but you don't have to put on seminars in order to be, you know, efficient, more efficient. I mean,
I did schedule two of those with the state planning attorney. Hey, I will say, you know, here's an example where that's paid off. This is someone that's in my pipeline. So he did not come. So he received the invitation to the seminar, the one we did last year. He didn't show up for some reason, but we did send out, we videotaped it and then we sent out to the people that didn't come or even the people that didn't RSVP, we did send out the video. So it was an abbreviated version. You watch it. As a result of that, later down the road, he made an appointment. And, it turned out to be a really good, and we had the first meeting, which earlier, he's a retired executive from 3M. He's got a net worth of somewhere, it's under 10 million, but he's probably underestimated his house at 3 because I know where his house is located. And he said, well, I'm being conservative, but it's probably worth 5. And then he's got about 3 million of liquid assets, mostly in his 401k. And he wants to do some estate planning stuff and he wants someone like me to help manage it. He kicks the bucket tomorrow and help his wife. And his wife she's a full-time volunteer teacher. She doesn't collect any pay. She volunteers full-time at this elementary school because she loves it. So, and you never know.
No, that's beautiful. And that's good for you. I mean, that's just another rounding thing, you know, where I'm out there speaking and.
Right.
You know, so it's a healthy thing.
I agree with your statement. You don't have to be doing similar. I'm just saying, by the way, since you said that, this was a nice little, you know, wow.
And that's called being in traffic.
That's right. Yes, you got it.
Okay. So, you know, all good, right? You don't have to do it.
Right.
But you were in traffic and you got a win and you were smart enough to focus on the people that weren't there. Not just the people that are there, because oftentimes the people that aren't there are too busy because they're making too much money.
That's right.
Right. And so that works. No, look, Preston, you're doing very, very well. You're very, very steady. You're relentless, but don't wreck your life to increase the rate of return. I would tell you that, I would focus as much as I could on shortening that 12-month time frame, especially if one of them turns out, I mean, you're ready to snag them if they show any any signs of response, right?
Sure. Yeah. Day one, I'm ready.
Right.
But if they say like, oh, I'm so glad you called. I've been thinking about you, or I'm not having that. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to wait. I'm just saying, I'm trying to kind of be gentle, I guess is the right word. You know, not like come in like, hey, come in for an appointment. Let's you and your wife. Let's, you know, cause these people are, yeah, they're already very successful. They have advisors.
Right. You know. Right. So it's friend making. And if you really are serious about making friendships, you wouldn't, you as a, I always take it to the dating game, right? You wouldn't take a year to date somebody.
You might ask my wife about that. Not to ask him out on the first date, but yeah, before you marry him, maybe. Yeah. She had to give me the detour speech, but I follow you. It was her birthday and we had dinner. She said, you know, I believe I'd let you. You just date me until I got all dated out. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, I just think you would until you got tired of dating me. And she said, you know, we've been dating for a while now. And she said, you kind of had your life all figured out, you know, who you're going to marry, what it's going to look like, da, 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 probably Dallas Cowboy cheerleader or something. And she said, but then you met me and I'm kind of like this detour and you're on this detour, you know, but you like the scenery and you like the view. And if you stay on this detour, your life's going to look real different than how you thought it was going to look. And so you have to make a decision whether you're going to stay on this detour or whether you're going to get back on the interstate. And she said, I'm going to give you a whole year to make up your mind. But this time next year, if you hadn't made up your mind, I'm going to make it up for you. And so that was in January. And in August, I proposed.
Wow.
And we got married in February of the next year.
That's fun.
And we just celebrated 15 years on the 20th. So that's good.
Yeah. So we celebrated 50 years in November. So.
Oh, well. November what?
November 4th.
4th. 50 years. Wow.
It's actually November 4th, 1972. So this would be what? Coming up on 51.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Not only have you been married 50 years, but you've been married 50 years to the same woman. That's a bigger accomplishment.
It's much more economical.
It's much more. That's what you need to tell people. This is my wife. We've been married 50 years. We've been 50 years to each other, right?
Right. My first wife.
My mom tried to say the other day, well, I've been married, da, 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 total. I said, no, mom, that doesn't count. You can't add them all up.
No.
For sure.
No.
Let's get to see you. Are you back in Tennessee for a while or you're heading back?
No, I'm leaving tomorrow morning early.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
Yeah.
But, safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you. And best to you.
Okay,
thanks, Preston. Bye-bye.